The choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am Chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 143, Level Up, Spend Smarter. Now, prior to the pandemic, personal savings rates in the United States hovered somewhere between 6 and 7%. And that was pretty consistent. We had a little bit elevated rates like around the time of the financial crisis. Things dipped a bit in the early 2010s. But really by 2017, 2018, we were getting in a pretty consistent range, 6 to 7%. When the pandemic first hit, and for about the next year, savings rates catapulted well into double digits. And they peaked in the 30% range because, you know, you had a variety of different stimulus payments coming in. People weren't able to go out. They weren't able to consume in a lot of the same ways. So a lot of people took that as an opportunity to build stronger emergency savings. In fact, there was a solid year plus there where even us as a firm really didn't talk a whole lot about spending and consumption and so on, because frankly, people were naturally just saving really quite well. And the big thesis, the big question I had was, you know, eventually we get through this pandemic thing. And I was pretty confident through one way or the other, we were going to make it through in a few years' time. But, you know, if we went through a prolonged period without being able to go out and having to live a bit differently, would that translate into higher savings rates post-pandemic? Would people's consumer behaviors outright change? Well, we've gotten to see how that thesis has played out over the past year. And the Starbucks line near my house could not possibly be longer than it is presently. And that is pretty indicative of what's gone on. Those savings rates have plummeted to as low as about 3% a year ago. And even a year later, with inflation tamping down, people earning considerably more, those savings rates continue to be south of 5%. Our consumption has gotten worse, not better. So with that, when people do want to save more, oftentimes what I'll hear is their first reaction will be to talk about, well, I need to get a budget. Well, here's the kick. According to a recent Harris poll conducted in March of this year, 74% of Americans have a monthly budget. And on average, the average American household earns 28% more than their base expenses. So bluntly, what gives? Why can 3/4 of people have a monthly budget? Why can we be earning considerably more than we have to spend, and yet fail to achieve any real savings? And we're being incentivized better than we have in a long time. Even personal savings accounts, you know, if you're in a high yield savings, you're north of 4% right now. And that's an FDIC insured account. So we're not talking about a money market account that's subject to investment risk. You literally open up an account and there are a number of high yield savings vendors that FDIC insured, great institutions, north of 4%. And still people are not saving money. So why? Well, I want to highlight a few reasons why I believe that to be the case, and then we're going to dig into what we can do about it. The first is a term I came across in my research here relatively recently. It was from an article from The Atlantic that was kind of asking a very similar question of why people, and this I think it was back in 2016, of why people were bad savers. And the term came up, it's called conspicuous consumption. And I really like this phrase. I think I'm keeping this one. Conspicuous consumption, meaning that we're not just consuming, but we're consuming with the desire to be seen and to have attention drawn to us and for people to ooh and ah and to feel wealthy, to feel rich. From photos of decadent meals in high-end restaurants to the shiny new car, the Michael Kors or Hermes or the Louis Vuitton bag, the Jimmy Choo's, the big new house, or you go on vacation and you got this kaleidoscope of blues and greens of the water and sugary sand beaches, and there you are in your shades on that beach, you know, or you're in an airplane going somewhere and you got a photo of the outside, big city panoramas. It's all a show. Heck, they make shows about this. There was a show on Netflix that was, recently canceled, but Bling Empire, where you're following around a bunch of very wealthy people getting themselves into all forms of drama. $1 million listing on for 15 plus seasons in a variety of markets and locations. You have Selling Sunset with the Oppenheimer Group. And so you have these, we have this, very strong pull toward wanting to see this. I mean, this goes back to Robin Leach and Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. It's rooted back in television from decades ago. But all this to say, everyone loves to be able to peek behind the curtain, and then if they have the ability to even get a taste of it. And be able to show their friends, I've arrived, I'm here. It's a validation thing. Look at me, I'm successful because I have this. I'm experiencing this. But none of that's wealth. None of that's actual real wealth in any way, shape, or form. None of those things show that you have any amount of savings or investment or net worth whatsoever. And none of those things will help you when you get to a point where you can't, for whatever reason, work anymore. Or you need someone to help take care of you, or something happens, and none of that prepares you for anything. Nice photos, but what do you have to show for it? Nothing. And so then we get to AARP surveys and people in their 50s. How long do you plan to work? And over half of respondents say, I'm going to work until I drop. And of those people, 10 years later, half of them are already reducing their workload at age 60 because they have to, because of their own health or the health of a family member or friend. So I have to say, that big plan of I'm just going to work forever, so I should enjoy it. No, there's got to be more balance to it, because you don't know if you're going to be able to actually do that or not, because you can't see the future. Neither can I. Conspicuous consumption. It's not even just to consume. It's wanting to be a show. The second in my checklist here of what can cause people to fail to save, the enjoyment of convenience. So speaking of feeling wealthy, we feel wealthy when other people work for us. And this is no different than previous generations. There's just been a broader democratization of homes engaging in more services than previous generations. A higher percentage of households have people do things for them. Cook at home? Nah, we'll just Uber Eats or Grubhub. Mow the lawn? Nah, have TruGreen come out or have a local landscaper come out. Clothes? You don't even need to go to the store for clothes. Stitch Fix will send it to you. Amazon will send it to you. Groceries? Brought to you. Clean the house? Let's pay someone to do that. Entertainment subscriptions. It's just $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. Times a bunch. We trade our ability to save and build wealth for essentially butlers and servants. I mean, it might look a bit different than the Rockefellers, but it's more the same than different thinking about today. We enjoy convenience, and we pay for it, and we pay for that labor dearly. And it is a trade-off against your ability to save for your future. And the real coup de grace in this is, so you have conspicuous consumption, you have this enjoyment of convenience, and then Americans love debt. And there's a cost to debt. Credit card balances now are back to all-time highs. Interest rate, and with interest rates being considerably higher, credit card interest rates are also more expensive than they have been in a long time. Student loans have always been pricey. If you have a mortgage in today's market and you're buying it, you're paying potentially north of 7% for that mortgage right now. But that credit card debt on top of all that? Yeah, Americans love to consume, and Americans are perfectly okay paying for the privilege of borrowing. And I keep saying Americans, 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 because this is not true in other parts of the world. Other parts of the world do not hang on debt the way we do not consume the way we do. We are heavy consumers, and we have a culture of consumption. So how do we break this cycle of consumption and debt so we have the ability to save and invest? Well, bluntly, and it's in the title here, we need to spend smarter. But it goes beyond just making, oh, I got a sale on something or a deal, or I'm just cutting this expense off, although cutting off services is going to be a part of this. But it's to say, we need to make different lifestyle choices such that we end up ultimately consuming less. It's more than just saying, I don't want to go out to eat anymore. Well, that means you have to agree to cook more. And so that's where we need to build, and it takes time for most people. It takes a long time for many people to build a lifestyle that has a smaller and smaller footprint such that we have more money to be able to save. So when it comes to things like, for example, food delivery, you have to choose, I'm not going to have that sandwich or that Chinese or that whatever made for me. I will make that food instead at home. But then you have to grocery shop. Now you go and grocery shop and you build the habit of making food at home. One, I'll tell you, your food will be healthier. Two, with practice, you'll be better than most restaurants. I'm not saying you're going to be the next Gordon Ramsay or Graham Elliott or whoever, or Manit Chauhan or whomever. But I will say that you can practice this skill. You can learn how to make a number of basic meals, and you can make things that will satisfy you, that you enjoy, and cost 75% less than Grubhubbing. And if you're saving, $10 to $15 per person per day, it adds up over a week, let alone a month, let alone a year, let alone a week, a month, a year, and have that money compound either in high yield savings or as an investment, hopefully earning even more than that. But you don't get to do that if you don't keep the money. And keeping the money means that at some point, the services have to slow down, if not outright stop. But in terms of food costs or whatever, people were complaining this last year. We had a spike in eggs because of, I believe avian bird flu hit a chunk of the population. We had groceries go up. And sure, groceries being more expensive doesn't help. But we had several years of deflation prior to that. The average cost of groceries going up over the last 5 or 6 years is south of 3%. Let me repeat that. The average cost of groceries in pricing over the past 5 years has gone up less than 3% a year. So this inflation narrative that's keeping people from buying things, false. The data doesn't lie on this. You're wrong. You know what has gone up? Labor. The cost of going of having the thing made for you has gone up a ton. And as a result, yeah, your Grubhubbing or whatever, it's costing you a lot more. So I think that you really got to think about, I need to have a different relationship with my food consumption and how I'm consuming it and where I'm consuming it. Which, by the way, 95% of the households we work with on financial planning, this is a biggie. This is a biggie for Americans, period. So if you're going, boy, it must be just me, I'm the one with the... No, it is virtually everybody. And you are in the super ultra majority. That might make some people feel bad. Be like, you mean I'm not special? No, you're not special. Sorry. Them's facts. Food delivery. Stop it. Make your food at home. Grocery shop. Yep, it's work. Deal with it. Learn how to cook. Yeah, and there are infinite tutorials on YouTube, articles on the internet. They're not expensive. It doesn't have to be complicated. But you got to decide, I am willing to learn how to do this thing. Second, reevaluate your recurring subscription services. I imagine that if you were to list out all the entertainment services that you have and put a percentage by each, the top third of your list would be 80 to 90%. Of what you consume in terms of media. So, you know, if you got a family, you got kids or whatever, that probably ends up being Netflix, Disney, and then pick one or two other services. And then there's a whole list of everything else that you've subscribed to. Great. Take that bottom two thirds, unsubscribe. See if your life changes. Do you miss it at all? Probably not. Think about other stuff though, too. Can you clean your own house? Can you mow your own lawn? Could you clean your house if you're having a house cleaner come weekly? Could you have them come bi-weekly and do a little bit of elbow grease of your own? Wash your own car, mow your own lawn. Do you really need a subscription box for like makeup or whiskey or whatever it is you enjoy, or can you just go and when you're out of whiskey, you go and get a new bottle? Or if you need makeup, you go to the Ulta or whatever it is, or Sephora. This is about culling back your lifestyle to have a smaller footprint and be less consumptive. So, part one was on food. Part two, reevaluating recurring subscription services. Point number three, do you shop all the time? One of the big behaviors I see in people who consume too much is I will see 5, 6, 7 transactions every single day. That means you're making 150 to 200 transactions or more a month. That's a lot. If you reduce how often you shop, you become more aware of your shopping and the likelihood that you overbuy goes down. So here's how we battle this. I want you to pick 2 days a week that are your shopping days. That means your groceries. That means your non-necessities. That means your online shopping, all of it. All your spend goes on 2 days a week. Because what you're going to do is you're going to start becoming aware of when you might be wasting money. Because you're going to do that grocery shopping at the same time, you're on the same day, you're doing the other stuff, and you're going to see your money leave. And the thing is, when you feel that happening, oftentimes that gets people to put stuff back on the shelf or not buy the thing that's in the cart or what have you. And if it's not a shopping day, you can only wish list those items. You have to wait for a shopping day to buy the item. And in many cases, when people do wait a day or two before wanting to buy a thing, they end up realizing they didn't really want that thing that bad. And so they never buy it. Or they take it off their wish list. And that's a good thing. Like that type of curating and culling of things that you don't actually want or need that badly saves you a lot of money without it necessarily showing up on your bank statement. You'll just have more money instead. But this idea we need to spend 5, 6, 7 times a day, no, we don't. But you've got to decide that you don't need to do that. Pick 2 shopping days a week for all your shopping. Stick to them. Point number 4 on things you can do to start changing that lifestyle. Unsubscribe from sales emails. So if you're getting emails from your favorite clothing store, your favorite, maybe it's Home Depot, maybe it's some sort of electronics store, maybe a Best Buy or something like that, where whatever your toys are, or Amazon or whatever, and even frankly things like Pinterest, people push all sorts of products on those types of sites all the time. Turn off the subscriptions, turn off the notifications, turn off the push notices. You don't need it. If you're being constantly bombarded by advertising, it is no surprise that you spend more. So create an environment where you don't have ads, where you aren't where people don't have the access to you to repeatedly try to convince you to take your hard-earned dollars and give it to them. Unsubscribe from those things. Oh, I'm going to miss a coupon. I might miss a special deal. So what? Instead, you're going to have more money in your bank account and you'll be able to invest more and save more and, frankly, live happier because you have the resources you need to handle anything. Or you can have that really cute whatever it is but then sit in debt and be paying interest on it forever and wonder why you never have any money. Well, are you letting people sell you things all the time? Yeah? Well, get them to stop doing it. Unsubscribe from sales emails. Now, if you do want to subscribe to something, I strongly encourage you to like, follow, and subscribe Briggs Financial. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads. You can subscribe to the Money is Personal podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Player FM, iHeartRadio. Do that. A, it's free. B, we're here to help. We've got great tips. We've got great information. And we aren't trying to sell you anything. Like, follow, subscribe us. Help you do better with your money. That's the point of this business. That's the point of this institution, is to help you actually do better with your money. Help you make better decisions for yourself. We don't gatekeep information. We help support people in making better choices. So you want to like, follow, and subscribe something? You know, ditch whatever, you know, again, ditch the things that are trying to push products on you. Subscribe to us for great information. Here's the bottom line. In all of this, you'll notice I have focused repeatedly on lifestyle. And here's why. Because when people go to make a spending decision, they do not sit there and go, well, gee, let me take a look at my budget and see what it says. If I sit there and I'm in the mall and I smell cinnamon rolls from the Cinnabon, people go eat the Cinnabon because it smells really good. Never mind the fact that many of these restaurants have fans that blow out their beautifully smelling things to make it easier for people to make the buying decision to go over there. Oh, I smell that thing. I got to go hit Cinnabon. And Cinnabon is delicious. But that said, again, did I consult my budget in any of that? No, I smelled the thing. I sat there. I went, ooh, that sounds tasty. And there you go. Same thing goes for fast food. It's not that I'm sitting there, boy, I wake up in the morning and go, I need some Taco Bell in my life. But if I'm sitting at a traffic light and on the corner is a Taco Bell and I smell the tacos and I'm like, ooh, tacos. I'm going to go do that. Well, that, again, I never consulted my budget. I smelled it. I sat there and said, I want that. And then I went and got that. Similarly, something you see something really cute on Instagram, or you see, like I said, it doesn't matter which. At the end of the day, it comes back to that sort of getting over the idea that an Excel spreadsheet is going to dictate how you live your life. It isn't. You are. Budgets don't make spending decisions. People do. So spending smarter is more than just about what or how to buy. It's about building a lifestyle that gives you the best chance to live comfortably within your means, to be able to have the resources to prioritize paying down debt, saving more money, being able to invest, and build a stronger future for yourself as a result. With that, I want to thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. Apart from that rundown of where the podcast is, you can find it on the Briggs Financial website, along with all the other episodes, 143 episodes total now at this point. It's crazy. At BriggsWealth.com. And this all being said, if you have any questions, if there's anything we can do to be of help, don't hesitate to reach out to me, Steven, at BriggsWealth.com. Thank you so much for having for your attention and for enjoying this week's episode with me. Have a great week. Be safe, be well, and we'll catch you with a fresh episode here soon. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.